Cleaning Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by telling you that you are super fantastic human beings. In this Thanksgiving area slash time slash season, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being the best community on the face of the earth. Nobody shares more, subscribes more, interacts in the Facebook more. I get kind emails. You are amazing human beings, and I want to thank you for listening to the show, watching the podcast, but that's insane, watching the YouTube channel, hanging at growmycleaningcompany.com, and really just engaging with this community. Today, we are chatting with Duce and Tanisha Simmons from Magic Touch Cleaning Services. They've been serving the Pottsville, Pennsylvania area for, that's fun to say, by the way, for 3 years with residential and commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to them, you can get a hold of them at www.themagictouchcleaningservices.com. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi.
That wasn't even rehearsed, ladies and gentlemen. That was just apparently how they speak. So what's shaking in your world? What brought you seemingly normal human beings to decide to go insane and join the cleaning business?
Well, a couple years ago, we had this bright idea, why work for someone else when we can work for ourselves?
Sure.
And we're awesome at cleaning. So we decided to start cleaning for people that we know. And then it became realtors, and then it just kind of kept going. So now we have almost 20 employees, and we're still growing.
Well, fantastic. That's a lot of results in a very short amount of time. So glad that you're part of the community. What can I do for you today?
All right. Well, we've been having trouble with, you know, hiring the right person to be a supervisor, or training a person to be the right kind of supervisor. We've had some issues with people in the past as supervisors, and we're having issues currently with a supervisor. So we're just trying to figure out, you know, how to figure out who would be the right person to create a supervisor, like what to look for in them. And if there's issues with a current supervisor, how to fix those issues.
Have you smacked them? No, just kidding. Don't do that.
I wish.
Every single owner out there is like, yeah, I like this guy. I need to smack some people. If you say I said it, I will fully deny it. We'll blame it on somebody else. Okay, so the term supervisor means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Give me a little feedback on what you mean by supervisor and what your supervisors do.
Someone who can lead a team, pretty much. Train someone, be stern,
and helpful.
And helpful.
What I mean specifically, like what tasks? So I heard train. When you say lead, that's kind of, you know, like, are we going into battle? Or are we gonna like be in a fist fight in the park? What's going on? What do you like? I get train. That's one specific thing. What else would a supervisor do than clean?
So training them, making sure they're meeting OSHA regulations, making sure that people are on time, on schedule. If they're at a residential, there's a certain time limit they're supposed to be there, making sure they get the job done correctly in a lot of time, making sure if in a situation where someone doesn't have transportation, assisting them in getting to the job.
Okay, so it sounds like just making sure that the trains run on time. People show up, they do their job, they do it right, everything kind of runs smoothly so you all don't have to. Fair?
Yeah, making sure that, you know, rags and mops and all that is washed and supplies are ordered, like just being on top of the residential end or the commercial end. Okay. So we technically have two positions as supervisor, residential and commercial.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to give you two things. One, I'm going to give you how I coach my folks to do it, and then I'm going to answer your question because I don't want you to be like, well, great, that's how you coach you do it, but that's not how we're doing it. Answer my question, dummy. I promise I'll answer your question. But first, I'm going to tell you how I would encourage you to do it. So if this is a one-on-one session, I would, and this is in step 9 of the Clean Profit Method, is how to automate, how to kind of get yourself out of the business, which is what we're talking about. I am not a fan of this title of supervisor, because we do this weird thing where it's like, well, they have to have been here with us for 6 months or a year, and I got to trust them. And I get a lot of that same answer. What do they do? Well, they got to just make sure everything kind of runs. It's not a very specific thing. So the two tasks that I really like not having supervisors do, and I prefer to have all employees do, is checking work and and training. Okay. I don't like that being this magical, mythical unicorn because what happens is, and it sounds like this may have happened to you, and I promise it's happened to listeners, they get somebody who gets a power trip, or they get cranky or they pissed, you know, especially with, no offense, but especially with the ladies, they get, I don't like you and she didn't like her and nobody likes him. And, you know, everybody's, it's just a bloody mess. And the supervisor position kind of feeds that fire. They have a Netflix's weird show. They did the Stanford experiment where they just picked a bunch of young men from Stanford college, right? Not losers, like the best of the best, supposedly. And they just said, hey, half of you are prisoners and half of you are guards. We're going to put you in the basement of the school for like 2 weeks and pay a bunch of money just to see what happens. And within like 3 or 4 days, they had to call off the whole dang thing because the guards were abusing the prison. They went nuts just because they titled them. It wasn't even like, you're bad and you're good. They just said, hey, randomly, you're a guard, you're a prisoner. And the guards went nuts, right? That's what happens a lot of times with the supervisors is you're a supervisor like, oh, well, I've never had any power before. I'm going to tell everybody what's what. So instead of that dynamic, which I don't like, and I don't like managing through it, I want to train everybody to be a supervisor. We all train other people, right? So everybody trains. That's how I do it in 30 days. So for you to be a full-fledged employee, you got to train another employee. That's your kind of like initiation, right? To be a full-fledged, ready to go, fully paid employee, you got to train somebody else. And I expect everybody to be checking other people's work. And I tell them who to check, and it's on a random basis periodically. That combined with personal responsibility. If I've got someone that can't show up or forgets their rags or doesn't know where the key is, or, you know, they're basically a chucklehead, I don't want them. I don't want to hire a supervisor to hold this person's hand and pat their head and be like, it's okay, I'll get your rags, I'll find your keys, I'll give you a ride, blah, 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 blah. So I really want to hire people that can do all of that themselves. Because if everybody's a supervisor, we're not stuck with, oh, crap, Susie quit, and these people are all children that don't know how to run without Susie, so what do we do? You know, I hate that dynamic. So I'm still going to answer your question, I promise, but I would, if we were working together one-on-one, I would rewind and say everybody needs to be training, everybody needs to be inspecting work, and everybody needs to get their own rags and get themselves on to work on time, and if they can't, they're on the wrong team. We need to get people that have reliable transportation and are able to do things like bring rags, have supplies, yada, yada, yada. So is that a fair disclaimer before I answer your question?
Yes, it is. And it's funny because we just kind of did a shift because a lot of people, like in the area I'm at, it seems like no one has a car. So we just did a shift and we just hired a bunch of people that have their own transportation. That's it. No more, I'm not giving you a ride. No supervisor is giving you a ride. You got to figure it out. So.
Yes. And I got to tell you, that's another, I forget who, I had a one-on-one client that was accepting, I think he was in California. Same thing. People don't have cars or quote unquote around here. Bull crap. I was like, look at, where are you at? Are you at office? Yeah, I'm at office. Do you have a window? Yeah, I got a window. Look out it. What do you see? Nothing. People driving by. How many? Thousands? Yeah, they got cars. Don't worry about it. It's not like everybody's walking. The people that don't have cars are losers. So if you're getting losers, you're not doing a good job attracting the right. That's like saying, oh, people around here don't have any money. What that really means is you don't know how to market, right? You're giving a message that attracts poor people. Cut it out. Let's get a message that attracts wealthy people. And if there are no wealthy people where you are, move. Same with there's no people with cars. Nope, you're just attracting losers that can't do things like have insurance, have a car, register it every year, like adult type activities. And people are like, well, I can overcome the car thing. Maybe, but the problem is we can't overcome the fact that it's really what that demonstrates, right? If you're a 32-year-old human being and you're like, I can't deal with things like oil changes and changing brakes and putting gas in and just adult activities, they're probably not someone you want to hire and certainly put into one of your clients' buildings. So I really would encourage you, you're on the right track with, listen, you got to have a car. It's got to be insured. It can't be a 1937, you know, whatever, with the crank start. You got to have a real live car that gets you where you want to go every stinking day. All right, so now that I've ranted, I'll answer your nice lady's questions that you're like, okay, enough. Tell me what to do. So here's the key. First and foremost, and this is going to work whether you do the system I just outlined for you or you do it kind of where you've got this, you know, quote unquote supervisor position. It's the same. This answer is going to answer both. First and foremost, it's got to be core values, core values, core values. That's really what you want them living and demonstrating. Employees need to demonstrate your core values for sure. Supervisors need to demonstrate them even more. Upper management needs to just absolutely live, breathe, and die those dang core values. And you personally need to be doing them so much where if your employees aren't mocking you behind your back and you walk in and they're going, have fun, make money, like doing your voice, then you haven't said it enough, right? You've got to just be absolutely bleeding these core values. So first and foremost, for my companies, have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And I don't have to lead or do any of that nonsense because all the people I put in charge were all about having fun, making money, being real, and helping out. And I didn't try and beat that into them. I put out hiring ads and materials and set up my process in such a way that the people that weren't into having fun or making money or being real and just didn't want to help out, they never made it through. Not, they didn't even show up. They were, my ad turned them away. I'm like, I don't want to work for this. This place sucks. But the people that did make it in and stuck around and became supervisors, or I put them in charge, they were so about having fun making, they just lived it, right? So I didn't try and find people that weren't about it and then beat them into submission. I found people that were already living those core values and said, oh my gosh, this is a community I want to be a part of. So first and foremost, core values. If you get that right, you don't have to do as good on the rest of the stuff. If you get that wrong, the rest of the stuff's not going to help you. So I'm beating that one in because it's really important. Any questions or thoughts on that one before we go forward?
No, actually, I like that.
Okay, it's huge, because if you don't have that right, don't even listen to the rest of it, because it won't help you. If you got those right, the rest will help, but you're already 90% of the way there. Second, job description. Job description, job description, job description. So when I say, what are your core, when I say, what do they have to do? And you're like, well, and you kind of talk about it. That means there's no clear job description, right? If I ask you what your core values, you're like, well, we're about have fun, make money, be real, help out. There's no question. I'm very crystal clear with those 8 words on what my core values are. We need to do the same thing with a supervisor. Very specific job description written down with checkpoints, right? This is red, yellow, green. We need every house to be cleaned, you know, no one to be late, whatever your result based thing is, that's what needs to be on the job description. That's the third thing, results, not tasks. So you wouldn't say, give people rides, check on their work, you know, bring rags if they need them. You would say, you know, less than 5% of the houses that are cleaned under your supervision complain in a month, or we get at least 3 positive referrals or reviews in a month, right? So you want results-based stuff, and however they want to handle that, that's fine, right? Because when you start getting into the rags and this and that, they can kind of check all those boxes, but still do a bad job. So you want to make sure that you're really clear on the job description, and it's filled with results, not task. A task would be drive an employee somewhere when they get locked out, go get them the key, or, you know, those are tasks. We don't want that in the job description. We want results, you know, less than 50% turnover, less than this many customer complaints. You know, the things that upset you, that the problem that you want them to solve, write that down and say, this is what you're getting paid to solve. So don't tell them what to do. Tell them the results that you expect and let them figure out how to do it. Is that, are we tracking so far? Or am I talking crazy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
In the final magic bean to all of this that kind of tie it all together and make it work like a charm, is pay based on results. Pay is the most, it's shocking how people will do exactly what you pay them to do. A perfect sociological example of this, not in the cleaning business, but just of humans, is the tax system. Everyone's like, oh, the rich don't pay taxes, this, that, or the other. No, it's just like cops and robbers, right? The cops figure out how to put door locks on, robbers figure out how to pick them. Cops put on, or homeowners put on, security system, robbers figure out how to disable them. The government says, hey, you get this tax break, and wealthy people say, I'm going to figure out how to take advantage of that to my benefit. So then the government puts on more rules, and the wealthy figure out how to break those, not break, but kind of work around those rules. That's just how human beings are. If you tie results to pay, 2 things will happen. One, they will do exactly what you pay them to do. That's a good thing, right? Huge lever. No more fighting or arguing, right? If you say you've got to wear your uniform and you're fighting about that constantly, all you got to do is go, you wear a uniform or not. We only pay people that are in uniform. So if ever I show up to a job and you're not in uniform, you don't get paid. And guess how many arguments you have on uniforms anymore? You can still clean if you want, but you're not going to get paid. Well, screw that. I'm going to go home. Be that as it may, we don't pay. You see what I'm saying? Instead of arguing, put on your uniform. Where's your uniform? Why don't you have a uniform? That uniform has holes. Blah, blah. Instead of fighting it, you just say, if you would like to get paid, you must wear a uniform. If you would like to get paid on time, you must turn in your timesheets, or, you know, whatever your process is. For any argument you have, as soon as you tie it to pay, the argument is over. There's no more argument. They just magically do it. That's the good news. It's a very powerful lever, right? You can get them to do just about anything just by tying the pay to it. The bad news is they're going to work around it, just like other human, just like you and I are, right? If the government says, hey, if you buy a house, you get all these great tax benefits, people go out and buy houses, right? That's great. Mm-hmm. But we sometimes, the government meant one thing, and we're like, well, that's not what you said, so we're going to work it around and buy 17 houses, and I'm just making this up. But we're always going to find ways to exploit the tax code, right? Your people are always going to do exactly what you pay them to do. Not what you want them to do, not what you meant for them to do, exactly what you pay them to do. So if you say I pay for good results or quick time, Maybe they do quick time, but the results are crap. If you say I pay for reviews, you'll get lots of positive reviews, but people may still be pissed off, right? And they go, hey, I got the review. So just be prepared that people won't do what you want them to do. They'll do what you pay them to do. Not one thing, not one iota less, and not one iota more. So you just have to be careful when you tie pay to results, because they'll do exactly those results. And if you haven't defined the results properly, they'll take advantage of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So to sum up, and then we'll hit the lightning round. First and foremost, everybody should be a supervisor. And a supervisor to me is defined by everybody should be training other employees, because if we just have one trainer and that trainer sucks, all of a sudden we can't grow because every employee comes in and gets burnt out. Why? Well, because they're talking to Marge and Marge is a terrible human being and yelling at everybody. So that's, I don't like that. If everybody's training and that's just an expectation, we don't have any tyrants. So like, oh, I'm a trainer, I'm going to go abuse everybody. So first and foremost, the foundational disclaimer I'm giving is everybody should train, everybody should check, everybody should supervise themselves. Supervisors should do higher level stuff. Everybody should kind of be independent and self-motivated. That's the first thing. Second is you got to have a clear job description. Very, very clear that job descriptions should say the results that you want them to achieve, not the tasks that you want them to do. Because they can do tasks and still not get you the results that you want. You want things like happy customers that don't quit and happy employees that don't quit. That's what I'd base the job description on, not picking up towels or doing this or doing that. Be very clear. And the fourth thing is if you tie their pay to those results, you will get those results. You might be shocked and go, crap, I forgot to include this result. Now she's doing a terrible job with that because I didn't include it. But they will do exactly what you tell them to do or what you pay them to do. Sorry about that. All right. That's the summary. Any questions or needs before we hit the lightning round? All right. You're like, that was too much talking. We need a break. Well, tough. No break for you. I'm going to be quiet. You ladies are going to talk.
No, it's a lot of food for thought. So, you know, it's time to reevaluate our foundation.
Lucky for both of you, we are recording this and it will be available to re-listen to. And again, all this stuff's in the Clean Profit Method. So I would, because quite frankly, I don't need your $47, but I do think it would help. So I would check out the Clean Profit Method. It's all in there with a bunch of frameworks and exactly how to do that. So that's really how to do it. That said, let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or professional?
I'm going to have to say professional. Sure. One of my customers actually said to me to stop being friends with everyone. Stop being friends with my employees.
Okay. That's a... it's a tough one because you want to be friendly, but there's a line and a different topic for a different day. But that's definitely deep waters you're treading in when you start kind of blurring those lines between friend and employee. All right, question number two: what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so we can all learn from each other?
I would say one of the biggest mistakes we've made is hiring friends and family, because they want you to become accustomed to being flexible with their schedule.
Okay. I like that. They kind of expect maybe different treatment than regular employees will. And that'll cause problems quick. All right. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation could put into practice right away? It can be really simple. Doesn't have to be anything tricky, but something immediately implementable that Cleaning Nation could put into practice to improve their lives or their business even a little bit.
Well, we started a referral program with our employees. What they do is they give each customer a referral card, and every five referrals gives the customer a free visit. So that gave them the opportunity to get the commission bonus and to bring more customers in, which helps grow our business.
Man, that is fantastic. And that is something we can implement right away and start making extra money. Your best new client is probably friends with your best current client, just like your best new employee is probably friends with one of your best current employees. All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. I love your energy and your vibe and your passion. I appreciate, I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Duse and Tanisha's show notes page, and I think there's a special video I made up, a free training, all that right now is at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.